Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, co-founder and CEO of Employee Cycle, and we are your friendly people dashboard. That's right. We know that you're wrangling together all those messy, crappy spreadsheets to try to do HR reporting, and a lot of times it's just too time-consuming, too manual, and you're not getting the result that you want. Well, no longer do you have to deal with that because we have a people dashboard with integrations to the best HR systems for small and medium-sized companies using Bamboo, namely Zenefits, Greenhouse, different systems. For all your data, connect them to People Dashboard Employee Cycle, put them together, sign up for a free account to try it out at employeecycle.com. But enough about me and our company, because today we have a great guest and we are going to talk about how to lead your company through uncertainty. We know that that's something that a lot of people leaders have had to do through COVID and a lot of other things that are going on. So please help me welcome to the podcast, Catherine Johnson. Catherine, welcome to the podcast.
Happy to be here. Thank you, Bruce.
So Catherine, we always like to start off the podcast asking, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Well, I lead both HR as well as legal and compliance at Storage, S-T-O-R-J, Storage Labs, Inc., where we have decentralized cloud object storage in the form of Tardigrade. So through Tardigrade decentralized cloud storage and the storage distributed network, we give people an avenue to store their data on a secure, anonymous network that's more performant, durable, secure, and affordable than centralized cloud storage. All of this is possible through decentralization. And so I joined in September of last year, and I had been an advisor to the company for about a year before that.
Awesome. So today we're talking about how to lead your company through uncertainty, and specifically your workforce. So I'd love to give a timestamp. Today is June 22nd. Can't believe it's almost July. And it's important to know where we are during this interview so that you understand the context of the answers.
Absolutely. And I really appreciate that you do that, because I've listened to podcasts before, seen articles, and you don't have the date, and that can be frustrating. So we're in 2020, which has been quite an unusual sort of year. And I'm glad that you're talking about this, how to lead through uncertain times, because I know it's on a lot of folks' minds right now, you know, both with the pandemic and the protests and just the state that we're in today presents a lot of challenges.
So there's a lot of challenges right now, which is why we left this a little broad to talk about leading your workforce through uncertainty. So I would like to give you the opportunity to pick a few of the challenges that you've been focusing on and talk about how have you been leading your workforce through them. What does that look like today?
Sure. Thanks for asking. Well, for us, it helps to have a little bit of background about the company. So we were started in 2014. It was actually an idea that grew out of the mind of Sean Wilkinson when he was just a college student at Morehouse and a developer who was looking for a way to store data, a way that was affordable. You know, over the years, that developed into what we currently have today, which is Tardigrade, which is a V3 of our network. And so from the beginning, really, we've been a largely decentralized company. Although we're headquartered in Atlanta and we have an office in Salt Lake City, we have team members all over the world. We're spread out over 10 countries, multiple cities. In the U.S. alone, we have team members in 10 different cities. So for us, fortunately, the transition that came with the pandemic to working from home was not as bumpy as it was for some other companies, because we had been working across time zones, and in multiple locations for a long time already. But that said, of course, it's always a challenge to deal with the uncertainties that come with the pandemic. And, you know, we recognize that people are our greatest asset. And so right from the beginning, we communicated directly with our employees in, you know, a very transparent manner, which is consistent with our culture. So right from the beginning, we had top of mind the well-being and safety and health of our employees. We closed our offices, or, you know, asked employees to stop going into the offices before most stay-at-home orders were in place. We actually, since we're a small enough company, we're around 50 employees, we were able to coordinate meetings one-on-one with every single team member to check in with them, see how they were doing with this transition, make sure that anyone who needed a break was taking a break and that they felt comfortable doing so, and to make sure that they had the tools and resources that they needed, even though, you know, most of us had already been working from home. We wanted to have that personal direct connection to make sure that, you know, that everyone knew we're here for them, you know, and we recognize the stress of this time and it's okay to take a break.
I'm glad that you and your team were so thoughtful about that, because one of the things that people have been finding is when they're working remotely and they weren't prior to COVID, they've been trying to do things like write random things on Slack just to show that they're present and that they're still tethered to their computer. And so the fact that you were able to do that was great. How exactly did you help your employees with that and move them to a place where they felt comfortable working from home and knowing that people weren't going to be lurking over their virtual shoulder, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. Great question. Well, first and foremost, like I said, we made sure to check in with them, but it's always been about communicating clearly across the company, both internally and externally, really. So very early on, we had Ben Golub, our CEO, address the company. We wanted to set folks' minds at ease about the impact of the pandemic, but also to be realistic with them. And so we have bi-weekly all hands meetings. And then we also have about three meetings a year where the whole company comes together, usually in person. We did this virtually for the first time last week to kind of, you know, to build community, especially being, you know, such a remote first company. But at any rate, early on, Ben communicated to the company that there would be no cuts, you know, in terms of workforce reduction, but that we would be tightening the belt and where and how. And one of those ways was through voluntary exec level pay cuts. And we also have a storage salary program where people can choose to get paid partly in storage. So some people participate in that. We did an audit of all of our different tools and resources, looked at which ones we're using, which ones we're not really using, and did, you know, just kind of a tightening of the belt across the company. But by communicating that directly with our team members, I think it set their minds at ease that they could, you know, focus on their work, and at the same time, you know, by us reiterating and repeating that we recognize the psychological impact of the pandemic and that we encourage people to, you know, take the time off that they need. You know, I think that we've gotten the message across now, and it helps that, you know, this is not new for our company. We've long recognized people as our greatest asset. We have an unlimited PTO policy to begin with. One thing that we started doing was making sure we were tracking the PTO to ensure that people actually were taking time off. Because it is easy to, you know, especially at a company like this where everyone's so passionate about what we're doing, you know, it's easy to just keep going and going and going. And then, then you realize, oh, I should be taking a break. So we wanted to make sure that people were taking that time off. So that's, you know, that's really been the emphasis and the focus for us is checking in individually, one-on-one, making sure that folks have what they need, talking to them about, you know, as comfortable as they are, their personal circumstances, because obviously for some people, this has meant suddenly working, you know, with their partner at home, suddenly working with their children at home who are, you know, at different levels of engagement, depending on their age. You know, for some folks, it means taking care of their parents to make sure their parents are safe. You know, so fortunately, we are small enough that we were able to to do those kinds of check-ins with everyone.
And what is your current headcount?
We're at about 50. We have employees nationally in the U.S. We have international employees, and then we also have a team of consultants that work with us. So altogether, right around 50.
Okay. And with that direct one-to-one communication, was that one-to-one from you, the people team, to each individual employee? Was that one-to-one from the CEO? Was that one-to-one from both, one-to-one from managers? What did that look like?
It was one-to-one from the people ops team. So it was me and a member of our people ops legal and compliance team, as well as an exec opening the meeting. So there was an exec present at every meeting.
Got it.
And then, of course, managers have their direct one-on-ones just on a regular cadence. And this year we've really grown our tools and resources internally. So we have Udemy for Business, which is a training platform. So this is new this year. And managers meet one-on-one with their direct reports and are able to, through those conversations, identify any areas that the team member feels like they might want to, work on or develop, whether it's, communication or if it's conflict resolution or if it's, goal setting. We did have a number of courses, not too many, about three for managers, and I think it was one for all employees that were required courses, but mostly it's been a matter of, just making sure that folks are aware of those resources. So that's one of the tools that we implemented this year. We also implemented TrackStar, so a performance management system that includes more formalized goal setting. So that's been a new process for us. We also have open office hours every week, the people ops team does, to make sure that folks feel free to come to us with any questions. And then also as we're implementing these tools and systems so that they can come to us with any questions and we're not just adding more meetings. We also, at the beginning of the year, took a new approach to our meetings to try to minimize the amount of time spent in meetings, or at least to manage it a little bit better so that people felt like they had, good chunks of time where they could work uninterrupted. So that was an undertaking at the beginning of the year to analyze how we can be doing meetings better. So fortunately, we had already been implementing a number of supports and systems that really, we were glad to have in place when the pandemic hit. Our DEI council has also been incredibly active in building out, supports and tools for all of our team members. One of the things that has been developed recently was the mentoring program. We also have a hiring practices guide that looks at, how do we ensure that we're minimizing unconscious bias, not just in our hiring, but, throughout in our promotions and beyond. And then we also, another key initiative of the DEI Council was metrics and reporting. So if we don't measure what we're doing and the impact of our efforts, how can we know if they're effective? So this is intended to help us analyze the impact of our efforts. So all of these things kind of came about, within the past, six months or so. So I think that one of the things that I hope we have and believe we have at Storage is an understanding among the team members that we care, and it's not just empty words, but that, we're really putting in the effort to make sure we understand, what the needs are. How do we make this, the best work experience that someone can have? How do we, collect that information and then make it actionable? And that's a part of who we are. So I think in light of that, when it was time to go into action, because we were hitting crisis mode, generally, broadly, universally hitting crisis mode with the pandemic, and more recently with the killing of George Floyd and the subsequent protests and, the crisis of our country, it wasn't unnatural. We didn't have to scramble. The thinking about how are our employees doing? How can we make their experience meaningful? Are we conveying appropriately, you know, this value that we have and understanding that we have that people are our greatest asset. So for us, it was, I can't say it's easy. It's never easy, but it was, I would say, natural. We already have this, you know, the groundwork laid that we care, and we are going to take action. As a matter of fact, it's interesting because we actually had just published a blog post about our DEI efforts, which are, you know, just really baked into who we are as a company. We had published that in mid-May, and, you know, then a week or so later, George Floyd was killed and the protests ensued. I'm based in Minneapolis, by the way, and a number of us Storchlings are. And so, you know, I think it was important for us to be talking about what diversity, equity, and inclusion means to us as a company and the actions that we're taking. You know, in some ways it's never enough. But I think the more that we talk about it and bring it into the light and really involve everybody in the company in these efforts, the more impactful they can be. And so, you know, we have DEI training at every all company meeting. We have DEI training at the exec level, you know, and we have hard conversations when we need to have hard conversations. You know, and that's been happening, but it all pushes toward a greater end.
As a people dashboard company, we're all about helping you track data, and we know that what gets measured gets managed. So it's great to see that you also follow that same principle when it comes to something as important as DEI. But Catherine, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest. And huge shout out, because this is your very first podcast.
Yes, so
I'm honored to be the first one to interview you on a podcast.
So I am honored.
Thank you for that opportunity.
Thank you, Bruce. I'm so glad that you're doing this. You know, I love getting ideas from different people about what more we can be doing, because like I said, there's always more that we can be doing. So thank you for doing this.
I love the way that we're going to end that. There's always more. So, Catherine, thank you so much.
Woo! Catherine!
Thank you, Bruce.
Catherine, where can people find you and Storage online?
Storage.io. Yeah, check us out. We have Storage and we have tardigrade.io.
Perfect. And I'll definitely add that in the show notes.
Thank you so much, Bruce. Oh, one quick plug I should make is that we also have a COVID-19 storage program where we're offering free storage for nonprofits, hospitals, and other organizations working to combat the virus. So please go online and check that out. I'll send you the link to that as well.
Oh, please do. We definitely want to promote that in the show notes. That sounds awesome.
Great.
So, thanks for sharing that. So everyone listening to this podcast, if you enjoyed this as much as we enjoyed making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating, because that shows that you care and we're providing great content. Also, if this is the first Employee Cycle podcast episode you've ever listened to and you're looking for more awesome, great HR and people ops content, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And all you HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thank you. Later, kids.